This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington, and coming up on Africa News Tonight...
Trachoma is so prevalent in Ethiopia because of the conditions. There are overcrowding, which is part of the problem with this disease. Overcrowding and a lot of people living in one small space makes the transmission of this disease much quicker and much easier. Also, there's challenges in Ethiopia with water. The country has very basic lack of water. The infrastructure is not great in terms of having running water, much less having wells pumped for water.
That's Kelly Callahan, director of the Trachoma Control Program for the Carter Center. She's describing the conditions that help the eye disease trachoma spread so easily in Ethiopia. A new partnership was formed to eliminate the disease, and we'll have details coming up. Also, Zambia's ruling party faces a tough challenge in tomorrow's presidential polls. U.S. military officials yesterday announced 8 new airstrikes against Islamic State positions in the terrorist Libyan stronghold of Sirte. And 4 lawyers in Burundi face jail and loss of the right to practice in their country. We'll have these stories and more, so stay with us. There's lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story this hour, Zambia's ruling party faces a tough challenge in tomorrow's presidential polls. The incumbent president, who was voted in after the death of the last president, faces a rematch with the opponent he narrowly beat less than 2 years ago. Since that victory, the nation has been battered by drought and food insecurity, growing political tension, and more. From Johannesburg, VOA's Anita Powell sets the scene.
Violence hangs like an ominous cloud over national elections in the copper-rich, landlocked Southern African nation that has been recently battered by drought and economic woes. Incumbent President Edgar Lungu of the ruling Patriotic Front Party faces a serious challenge from opposition leader Hakainde Hichilema from the United Party for National Development. Lungu, widely considered a populist, narrowly beat Hichilema, a businessman, in a January 2015 snap election held after the sudden death of President Michael Sata. This year's election campaign has been marred by clashes between supporters of the two main parties, prompting the head of the Electoral Commission to call the violence unprecedented. Unlike its Southern African neighbors, Zambia has long been hailed as a bedrock of peace and democracy. Many analysts say the presidential race is too close to call, but they agree on one prediction: violence. Analyst Impo Motsamai spoke to journalists from the Institute of Security Studies in Pretoria, South Africa.
The risk of violence is very high. The political violence is coming from both sides. That is very important to highlight. It is coming both from the PF and the UPND in particular. And it really speaks about a politics that is very unhealthy. The relationship between the opposition and the government, it is a very unhealthy political relationship, is very antagonistic. And anything that happens is dealt with in a very antagonistic fashion.
Lungu's predecessor, Guy Scott, was Sata's vice president and is no friend of Lungu. Scott recently endorsed Hichilema. Scott struggled to pinpoint why a nation praised for peace and which watched with horror its neighbor's political struggles is now itself struggling. Ultimately, he said, it comes down to bad economics and poor leadership. In the last year, copper prices have fallen and food prices have risen amid a crippling drought.
Why it's gone so bad, it's hard to say. I think people were upset at Mr. Sata's death. They were upset at the people running around with knives and guns. And they were unhappy with the economic downturn, of course, last year, which has still failed to right itself in Zambia and has led to a lot of unemployment. And has strengthened the elite at the cost of the poor.
Motsamai says the vote could be a do-or-die moment for Zambia. The tension is also heightened by new election rules that say the winner needs more than 50% of the vote to avoid a runoff. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
U.S. military officials yesterday announced 8 new airstrikes against Islamic State positions in the terrorist Libyan stronghold of Sirte. The U.S. African Command says Operation Lightning has carried out a total of 28 airstrikes against several hundred jihadists who remain in the coastal city they had occupied for more than a year. A U.S. official says U.S. Special Forces personnel are guiding the airstrikes in coordination with Libya's Government of National Cord in Tripoli. Militias of the GNA have reduced the number of Islamic State fighters in the city from an estimated 6,000 in 2 months of fighting. Four lawyers in Burundi face jail and loss of the right to practice in their country. The government accuses the lawyers of contributing to the violence that erupted last year and denies UN charges of human rights violations. Officials issued arrest warrants for the lawyers after they testified about torture to a UN committee. They have fled the country and face disbarment proceedings. Moses Habayarimana reports.
The United Nations Human Rights Office reports increase of human rights violations in Burundi's year-long political crisis as citizens. Most are members of opposition groups, and they are being targeted by the government security forces and the ruling party supporters. Burundi government officials deny the allegations and charged the United Nations with bias in its reporting. The United Nations Committee Against Torture expressed grave concern after receiving reports that 4 Burundian lawyers were facing disbarment for providing testimony to the United Nations Committee. In a statement earlier this week, the United Nations Committee urged the Burundian government to provide urgent reassurances that no lawyers or activists would face reprisals for cooperating with the committee. Vital Nshimirimana, who is currently in Rwanda, is among the 4 lawyers facing disbarment.
After 3 of us participated to the 58th Committee Against the Torture Session, there was some measures of retaliation undertaken by the government. So because the Minister of Justice, who was to some extent ashamed to not being able to respond to questions raised by the committee, retaliated against these people who participated.
The 4 lawyers who faced disbarment are accused by the government of participating in violent protests and trying to oust President Pierre Nkurunziza's government in May last year. They have fled the country and the government issued arrest warrants for their arrests.
Regarding the disbarment we are talking about, there is a number of observations. One is that the 4 people fled the country, fled the regime, fled the system which is committing atrocities. The Prosecutor General is pretending to want to pursue or to seek disbarment of these people because they are pursued by justice.
Sylvester Nyandwi is the Burundi Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Justice.
No, the procedure is going on. No? It's still going on because the Bar Association will deal with the case. The prosecutor has submitted the case and it must be treated or analyzed or considered by the Bar Association.
Since last year, when the protests erupted against President Pierre Nkurunziza's 3rd term in the office, the Burundi judicial body said that perpetrators who violated the human rights since last year will have to face justice. Cases including security officials who were accused of violating human rights have been received by the country's Supreme Court. Moses Habyarimana, VOA Africa, Bujumbura.
A new partnership was recently announced to accelerate the elimination of trachoma in Ethiopia by the year 2020. If untreated, the disease causes blindness. The Atlanta-based Carter Center and the UAE-based Noor Dubai Foundation say the four-year partnership will focus on the Amhara state, where health officials say Ethiopia has been hit the hardest. The collaboration will provide treatment for up to 16 million people. Kelly Callahan is the director of the Trachoma Control Program for the Carter Center. She spoke with me about the prevalence of trachoma and how the program called SAFE will help eradicate the disease.
Trachoma is so prevalent in Ethiopia because of the conditions. There are overcrowding, which is part of the problem with this disease. Overcrowding and a lot of people living in one small space makes the transmission of this disease much quicker and much easier. Also, there's challenges in Ethiopia with water. The country has very basic lack of water. The infrastructure is not great in terms of having running water, much less having wells pumped for water. And then thirdly, Kim, latrines. There is a basic lack of sanitation in a significant portion of the country. The area where the Carter Center works and focuses is a region called the Amhara region. It has the highest known prevalence of trachoma in the world.
Now, you all have announced a new partnership, some very exciting news. So can you tell me how this partnership will help to eradicate trachoma?
We have announced a new partnership. So the Carter Center is partnering with Noor Dubai, and we're very excited. The challenge with this disease in terms of trachoma is that it is easily spread from person to person through a fly, through hands, through cloth. It is spread through eye and nose discharge from person to person. A person gets trachoma, and when they get trachoma, they're infected. And this infection happens over time. So there are four ways to focus on preventing this infection. And our partnership with Noor Dubai will help us, the Carter Center and the Amhara Regional Health Bureau and the Ethiopian government, to focus on these four pillars to prevent this disease. The entire strategy is called SAFE, S-A-F-E, and the first pillar is surgery. The second is antibiotics. The third is facial cleanliness. And the fourth is environmental improvement. This SAFE strategy combined helps prevent the disease and prevent people from going blind once they reach the final stages of how this disease affects the eye. Over time, we have been distributing antibiotics donated from Pfizer, one of the largest public-private partnership in terms of donations that there has been in the world. Pfizer donates drug to the global trachoma community, and we are using this drug in our partnership with Noor Dubai to distribute to virtually everyone in the Amhara region that is susceptible to this disease. And that's around 16 to 18 million people that we distribute this drug to annually. We also will be working with Noor Dubai in our partnership to carry out just over 100,000 surgeries this year, and we hope to finish the remaining number of surgeries over the course of the next 3 years. So about 330,000 surgeries over 3 years, and we'll be training teachers on a school trachoma health program to help them teach children how to ensure that they wash their face twice a day, that they use a latrine, that they have a latrine at their home, and that they advocate and help their parents learn more about trachoma and how it is easily spread from person to person.
Also, there's a documentary on trachoma. Can you tell us about this documentary film?
This documentary is really exciting. We worked on this over the course of 7 years, and it really shows how this disease is spread and what can be done and how it can be easily prevented. It really highlights the partnerships such as Noor Dubai and other partnerships such as Pfizer, the Ethiopian government, Lions Club, International Foundation, and Alliance Carter Center Site First Initiative. This documentary was paramount in helping the Carter Center advocate for more resources towards eliminating this disease as a public health problem and stopping hundreds of thousands of people from going blind.
Kelly Callahan is the director of the Trachoma Control Program for the Carter Center. She spoke with me from Atlanta. You're listening to Africa News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15, 580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington. At 20 minutes past the hour, here's a recap of our top stories. U.S. military officials yesterday announced 8 new airstrikes against Islamic State positions in the terrorist Libyan stronghold of Sirte. A new partnership was recently announced to accelerate the elimination of trachoma in Ethiopia by the year 2020. If untreated, the disease causes blindness. And 4 lawyers in Burundi face jail and loss of the right to practice in their country. For more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. From cosmetics to cooking, shea butter is popular around the world. It's made from the nut of the karité tree, which grows in the Sahel with the brown nut. It's called women's gold because it provides income to millions of women across the region. Emily Yeob reports from Northern Ivory Coast, where women are working to transform karité from cottage industry to big business.
In this local market in Korogo, Northern Ivory Coast, the shea butter sellers have their own little corner. On their stalls are piles of yellowish-colored butter, a popular product among locals. Customer Awa Watara says she uses shea butter as an ointment. It nourishes my skin, it beautifies it, and it makes it more firm, she says. About 50 kilometers away, Alice Connet-Marie Diouma sweeps the grass at her feet to pick up the fallen shea nut in one of the many shea fields in the area. The harvest season is in full swing, and just like every year, Connet will process the kernels in the traditional way her grandmother taught her. Heating, drying, grinding, it will take her hours of hard work to make the shea butter that is then sold at the market.
Bon, dans le karité, cette année-là, ils ont bien payé.
She says that sometimes shea butter pays well and she does not need anything else. But when the harvest is not good, they have to get by with other products. Like Kone, most women in the shea industry in Ivory Coast work independently and sell locally. But shea butter is in high demand internationally for use in cosmetics or as a substitute for cocoa butter in chocolate. Neighboring Burkina Faso and Ghana are among the world's leading exporters. Burkina Faso earns an estimated $33 million annually exporting shea. Ivory Coast is trying to catch up. In the village of Natioko Badara, processing shea is a traditional activity shared by almost all families for decades. But a few years ago, women decided to work together in a shea co-op. In an open-air area, they lay strips of shea kernels left to dry under the sun. Nearby, dozens of women are busy turning crank handles on cylindrical ovens used to heat up the shea nuts. Nearby, a mill is grinding the kernels. Co-op president Awa Kulibari says that when you work in group, there are a lot of ideas, and also financial backers can help.
On a fait de l'aide vers le fonds de roulement, nous avons fait des magasins.
She says the women have received some assistance, a funding capital that build a warehouse. If you work alone, they cannot build a warehouse for every woman, Kulibari says, adding they need more machines and a fence to secure the open area. In some fields in the area, a new kind of shea tree is also being planted. This kind is more productive than the traditional wild type, and the country now has 2 mechanical processing units. 2 years ago, the government began working to structure the shea sector, an effort spearheaded by Ali Keita.
Dès l'instant que la société coopérative elle est forte, elle a des clients en Chine, elle a des clients en Europe, elle a des clients aux États-Unis.
As soon as a strong cooperative structure is established, Ivory Coast will have clients in China, Europe, and the United States. Keita says if they create an interprofessional organization, it will allow the country to export shea butter internationally. Keita is also pushing for more regional cooperation among shea butter producing countries. Emily Yeob for VOA News in Korogo, Ivory Coast.
As the leaders of Turkey and Russia seek to mend ties strained by last November's downing of a Russian warplane near the Syrian border, there is concern U.S.-Turkish relations will suffer. Turkey's Justice Minister Bekir Bozdag warned yesterday of a rising anti-Americanism in Turkey because Washington failed to quickly extradite exiled Muslim cleric Fethullah Gulen. Turkey has accused Gulen of being behind last month's failed coup. From Washington, Victor Beatty talked with international relations professor Jonathan Adelman at the University of Denver in Colorado about changing relations between the U.S. and Ankara.
The administration has already made it clear through leaks that they're not about to send Gulen at 75, you know, back to Turkey where he would probably be executed. And there's not much evidence. In fact, things have been going so well since the quote-unquote coup was put down within barely 24 hours that there's a lot of people out there who are academically and politically oriented who wonder if there really was a coup or it was all a setup by Erdogan. Because now he brought his hundreds of thousands of people into the streets. He is going to be the absolute ruler of Turkey. And again, who does that remind us of? Vladimir Putin.
Does it strain U.S.-Turkish ties or does it break them?
I don't think it will break them. I think, however, it will be far less warm than it was before. The Turks still need, because of their economy and the dangers that are still out there for Turkey, some help from the United States, but I think it's going to be much less warm than it was before, and it's going to pose a real challenge for the next president of the United States.
What of Turkey's migrant deal with the European Union and its future in NATO?
Turkey will probably remain what I would call a nominal member of NATO, because what you see them doing is playing, I mean, look at what they're doing with the Israelis. They're playing both sides of the street against each other. But I think in reality, they're not going to be, a very active member of NATO. And especially with Erdogan solidifying his control at home now in terms of an Islamic Turkey, let's remember, a Sunni Turkey, not a Shiite Turkey. This is going to be difficult for the United States. I think we'll have relations, won't break relations. They'll be nominally in NATO, but they're not going to go any further because they see the rising power in the Middle East as Russia, not the United States.
And what about the migrant deal with the EU?
If you look at the polling that's been going on in Germany and in Scandinavian countries, it's not going to last for very much longer. Angela Merkel has sunk, from like 60% to barely 40% support in Germany. She's going to have to close down a lot of this. And the rise of the far-right parties, look at France. You see that Marine Le Pen, the National Front, is actually favored by some to win at least the first round for president in another year and a half. So given all of that, I think there's not going to be as many people migrating. I think the power even for people like Angela Merkel, who definitely cares about them and bringing a million to them, has led to such a sharp political response.
That was Victor Beatty reporting and speaking with Professor Jonathan Adelman. And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. Stay tuned for Straight Talk Africa with Shaka Sali coming up at 18:30 UTC. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington, and for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our news, Africa News Tonight producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Aiden Uko, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Next week on Straight Talk Africa, Shaka Sali and his guests discuss Zambia's general election set for August 11th. The office of the president and seats in the National Assembly are being contested. A constitutional referendum will be held with proposals to amend the nation's Bill of Rights. That's next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
The U.S. presidential election takes place on November 8, 2016. VOA provides extensive coverage of this important political event. Who are the candidates, and what are the issues that will determine who the next president will be? Tune in. in around the clock for coverage of the U.S. presidential election, right here on VOA.